generous in the way that our kids taught us something of generosity this morning, in the way that only kids can. So may today be a day that we expand our preconceptions and definitions of what it looks like to mother. And I think that brings me to my next thing. I titled this day Mothering Day, because I think we're better served by mothering as a verb sometimes than mother as a noun. That there is the act of mothering, that even these kids were able to so clearly articulate the way that moms are, the way that they have been mothered. And so today, I was joking with the band before, and they were saying, like, should we arrange some kind of game where we keep track of how many times you say the word mother? And I said, we'll try mothering. It'll be a more successful game. I'm not a mom in the traditional sense, though there's a golden retriever that would be really, really lost without me. Truly lost. But I work with a lot of people who mother, and I get to hang out with a lot of young people who are mothered. And in light of my work, I subscribe to a blog called Momastery, which is that sacred work of momming. And I just want to share, the quote is on your bulletin if you are a visual person, you want to read along. But as I was thinking about today, this struck me in a way that I really want to share with you. She writes, I want to try to explain my evolving definition of the word mother. I'm starting to understand that the word works better for me as a verb than a noun. Mothering is a choice we make. Like loving is a choice. We do not need to have given birth or to have signed adoption papers to mother. To mother, to me, means to nurture, to heal, to help, to help grow, to give. And so anyone and everyone who is involved in the healing of the world is a mother. Anyone who tends to a child or a friend or a stranger or an animal or a garden is a mother. Anyone who tends to life is a mother. Today is a celebration of all the healers and hopers and lovers and givers and tenders. In other words, today is for every single one of you. Mothering is unto life. That is the whole work of mothering. And I was having a conversation with a friend on Friday, and she asks really good questions. She said to me, as I was telling her about this sermon, who has mothered you? And I obviously, mom, said you, because you have been a good mom. But I also had this list of names in the back of my head that included some incredible men who have walked alongside of me, who have mothered me and nurtured me unto life. Mentors and professors and advisors and people who have believed in me when I didn't believe in myself. And there's this list of women who have walked with me and cared for me and asked me questions that spoke to the deep parts of my soul in ways that no one else could. And so I invite you, as we're together this morning, to be thinking of those names and faces, of who has mothered you. And even to rebel a little, because I think one of the greatest outcomes of our time together today might be that we would reach out and say thank you to someone who has done that for us. Or reach out to someone that we desire to mother with a word of love and kindness. So today and only today, you are welcome to text, email, or step outside and make a phone call during the course of our time. If it's burning in you to call someone, just go do it, okay? Because that's way more important than what I might have to say. It is such a privilege. And mothering, I think, brings us into the realm of this divine impulse to tend to the world. As Jenny read, there are all these images in Scripture of God revealing this beautiful feminine, tending, caring, nurturing role that I think sometimes gets left on the shelf of Christianity in the West. But that God encompasses all that it means to be human, both male and female. And I was reading as I was preparing for this week, There's even a moment in Scripture where God is called compassionate, and the Hebrew word for that is raham, which is also the Hebrew word for womb. So whenever the Bible talks about God as compassionate, they're thinking about this deep care, like being comforted in the midst of a mother's womb and being brought to life from there. And then we get these feminine images of God, even with Jesus when he's entering Jerusalem and he's lamenting, he's saying, "People of Jerusalem, I long to gather you together like a hen gathers its chicks under its wings." And so the mothering impulse brings us close to the very heart of God and reveals something to the world of what God is like. I think we can all picture a moment where we saw someone mothering, and it just reminded us so clearly of what love looks like. Maybe it's incredible patience in a grocery line. Right? I'm not a mom, and I know that one. Maybe it's saying just the right thing after someone has a hard day and understanding what's behind the tears and speaking to someone's heart in a way that just makes sense and brings them to life, tends to their soul in a way that is generous. I, at the beginning of the week, was really terrified of this. If you've been following along and we make the road by walking, this Sunday's chapter is actually on stewardship. I was like, Mother's Day, stewardship. This will be so fun. And I'm like, that's why Stephen switched with me for the 10th. Like, I'm new, but I'm not that new. Just kidding. I don't get why that's a clapping thing. Sorry, Stephen. They're all listening. But as I got to speak with Stephen and Jenny earlier this week, it was so fun to dream with them about some of the texts that we had and about how stewardship is the perfect framework for Mother's Day. That of all the things that mothering is, it is the stewardship of generosity, the spirit of giving more than you're able, that mothering encompasses. And so I want to speak about generosity. That last line in our scripture was that they pray they would excel in the grace of giving. And that's my prayer for us, that we would excel in the grace of giving to each other life and love and encouragement and peace and justice. Mother's Day started, I don't know, the internet told me this, so who knows how it started. You can find lots of things there. But I heard somewhere that Mother's Day was begun by a daughter who wanted to honor her mother's work in social justice and community development and to encourage others to do the same. And I just think, what a brilliant testament to mothering, that there are these people in the world, men and women, who embody the presence of God by making the world look more like heaven and less like hell. Who embody the presence of God and reveal something of what God is doing with their generosity. Not just of spirit and of attention, but of service and hands-on, getting dirty in the trenches, loving the world. And to be entirely honest, that was the word that came to mind, generosity, when I thought about introducing you to my mom. Like, if I was going to speak one word about my experience with my mom, is that she's one of the most generous people I've ever known. And it has very little to do with money. The way that I think the world thinks about generosity sometimes, it's like cha-ching, cha-ching. But I wonder if we were the kind of community that when we thought of generosity, we thought of the kind of things that these kids were saying. We thought about giving of ourselves and our time and our love and making a million meals and picking up after each other. And if that was the way we were known as a community, what that would be like. The other quote on there is from Cheryl Strayed, who wrote that book Wild that Reese Witherspoon then acted in. But she has this part where she's talking about her mom, and her mom says, "I gave you everything." She says, "Yeah, you did. You came up at us with maximum maternal velocity. You left nothing." I love that phrase, maximum maternal velocity. Happy maximum maternal velocity day. Like, people would look at you funny. But I just wonder if today is about remembering that generosity is one of the many faces of love. And that the takeaway for us is either a posture of gratitude to those who have mothered us, to those who have brought us more to life, or maybe there's something growing in you, a little hitch of the spirit maybe, a little burning in your heart that says, there's somebody out there that I am meant to mother. There's somebody out there that I'm meant to speak words of life to, or to come alongside and help make their load a little easier to bear in some way. I don't know, I thought maybe this was too simple, like it should be more complicated. But I wonder if that's all we need to do today, is practice generosity unto life and thank those who have given it to us. The very first illustration I thought of is a story about mothering. I think sometimes stories help us walk into truth and remember things better than lectures. I'm going to end with this. Some of you may have read it. It's called, it's a little guy named C.S. Lewis. He wrote some stuff. But in The Great Divorce, he writes about this vision of what heaven might be like. And it's a dream. He sets it up as a dream, and the first person character is sort of getting a tour of heaven with an angelic being of some kind, and meets a whole bunch of people along the way, and has these kind of crazy cool visions. It's a great book if you want to check it out. This is one part. Just maybe close your eyes and picture this, because it's beyond what I would imagine. First came bright spirits. Not the spirits of men who danced and scattered flowers. Then on the left and right at each side of the forest avenue came youthful shapes, boys upon one hand and girls upon the other. If I could remember their singing and write down the notes, no person who read that score would ever grow sick or old. Between them went musicians, and after these, a lady in whose honor all of this was being done. I cannot now remember whether she was naked or clothed. If she were naked, then it must have been the almost visible halo of her courtesy and joy, which produces in my memory the illusion of a great and shining train that followed her across the happy grass. If she were clothed, then the illusion of nakedness is doubtless due to the clarity with which her inmost spirit shone through the clothes. For clothes in that country are not a disguise. The spiritual body lives along each thread and turns them into living organs. A robe or a crown is there as much one of the wearer's features as a lip or an eye. But I have forgotten. And only partly do I remember the unbearable beauty of her face. Is it? I whispered to my guide. Not at all, said he. It's someone you'll never heard of. Her name on earth was Sarah Smith, and she lived at Golders Green. She seems to be, well, a person of particular importance. Aye, she's one of the great ones. You've heard that fame in this country and fame on earth are two quite different things. And who are all these young men and women on each side? They're her sons and daughters. She must have had a very large family, sir. Every young man or boy that met her became her son, even if it was only the boy that brought the meat to her back door. And every girl that she met was her daughter. Well, isn't that a bit hard on their own parents? No. There are those that steal other people's children, but her motherhood was of a different kind. Those on whom it fell went back to their natural parents, loving them more. Few men looked on her without becoming in a certain fashion her lovers, but it was the kind of love that made them not less true, but truer to their own wives. And now, whoa, what are all these animals? A cat, 24 cats, and all those dogs? Why, I can't count them. And the birds and the horses. Well, they're her beasts. I mean, did she keep some kind of zoo? This is a bit too much. Every beast and bird that came near her had its place in her love. In her, they became themselves. And now the abundance of life she has in Christ from the Father flows over into them. I looked at my teacher in amazement. Yes, he said, it is like when you throw a stone into a pool and the concentric waves spread out further and further. Who knows where it will end? Redeemed humanity is still young. It has hardly come to its full strength. But already there is joy enough in the little finger of a great saint such as yonder lady to waken all the dead things of the universe into life. There is someone somewhere who longs to be mothered by you. And there are many who have mothered you. So today may we remember, as my husband said when I asked him what I should preach about, and he said the best message would be, call your mom. He's not wrong. So may we go forth today into gratitude and into mothering. Amen.